Amen. I've got a message for us. I want to speak into our hearts, and I pray the Holy Spirit will minister to you. I'm going to go to two passages of Scripture. We're going to be in John chapter 1 and verse 45, and we'll also go to Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to minister from verse 17. But so if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 1 and verse number 45. Sylvia? Yes. Yes, let's pray for all those, not just in Pittsburgh, but, you know, that's affecting congregations, synagogues all over the world. The anti-Semitism and just the hatred in this land. And let me tell you something. We met yesterday as a church and brought Collier County Sheriff's Department in here to talk to us about how do you handle these situations. Because that's the world we live in. And so we had a long meeting yesterday, but I want to pray for all the families that are suffering loss right now, the people that are wounded in the hospitals, for God to heal their bodies. And let's just pray right now. Father, we pray for this synagogue in Pittsburgh, Lord. We pray for the families that are forever changed because of what has happened, Lord. I ask you to heal those that are wounded. I pray, God, that you would just put a wall of protection around our congregations, Lord, as we meet to lift up your name. Expose the darkness, God. Bring healing to our land. God, we pray right now, Lord, for those that have suffered loss of loved ones and family members who are grieving because of this hatred, Lord. And we just speak, God, your healing over this country. And we ask you to touch and strengthen in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read from John chapter 1 and verse 45. Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." I almost titled the message, "Get on the Bus." I believe Philip said, "Hey, we found him. Come and see." Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I picture Philip saying, "Man, come get on the bus. Just come get on the bus." In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi," he called him teacher, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater than these." I believe Jesus was speaking to Nathanael and said, "Hey, what you were under the fig tree is not who you're going to be, and not what I'm going to do. There are greater things yet to come in your life." I mean, how many of you can just believe with me for an open heaven? Like an open heaven over your family and over your life, where the things that are in heaven are now being brought to you, and you are experiencing the kind of life that's in heaven now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience it. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Greater things. And he said to him, "Most assuredly," verse 51, "I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." I'm believing for an open heaven. Come on, this whole thing of the kingdom of God and everything that we're doing to get people saved and get you into the church and get you into God's word and get you filled with the Holy Spirit, this is all with an assignment. It's to get you and I to live under an open heaven so that everything that is coming to our lives is coming and everything that is going from our lives is going. This isn't about us just getting in here and trying to build a church or grow a church and build buildings and become a mega church. They say we're trying to be a mega church. I'll tell you what we're trying to be: a church with the blessing of the Father over our lives. I want to be a pastor that leads from the blessing, that the blessing of the Lord is over my life and over my family. And no matter what I experience throughout the week or no matter what happens tomorrow, I know that's not who I am. That may happen to me, but I am the blessed of the Lord, and His blessing is over my life. And I want to move you into the blessing. Some of you just need to go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read the blessing that is available for the body of Christ. This is about us operating in an open heaven. We exist as the church to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when we host the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's fullness of joy that fills our lives. The fullness of joy, the peace that passes all understanding. It's where I want to move you into. I want you to start thinking about, what's God want from me? Does God just want my stuff? Does God want my time? What's He want from me? I'll tell you what God wants from you. He wants to fill your life with the blessing. He wants to fill your attitude with the blessed attitude, where you're not always going around depressed and mad and angry and hurt and grieving and sorrowful. And God says, hey, those things are going to come into our lives. In this life, you will have trouble, but you can't live there. You can't live in that place. Deuteronomy 28 says, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I want to get you thinking differently. I want to get you to operating in a different level of existence on this earth. I don't want you being stuck where you're at. I don't want you living in a place where you're just always living in lack and living in defeat and always sad and always taking a pill to get up and a pill to get down. Come on. The Lord says, hey, I want to bless you to the overflow. In verse 12, He said, the Lord will open His good treasure. He will open to you His good treasure, the heavens. The heavens. He said, I want you to live with an open heaven over your life, to give you rain in your land in the season and to bless the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. God wants us to live under an open heaven. Everything that God has in heaven is available to you and I. Everything that is in heaven now is available to you and I. And God told Nathanael, He said, hey, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you there, but I didn't leave you there. I got you here now. And what you're experiencing now, there is a hereafter. He said, hereafter, you will see the angels descending and ascending from heaven. What were they descending and ascending for? They were descending from heaven to bring gifts to us. They were descending from heaven to bless and prosper our lives. They were descending back to heaven, taking away from us everything that doesn't belong in our lives. But you and I have to have a mindset that says, hey, I'm going to get into that hereafter. I'm going to get into the blessed life. There's no limits. Just say that over your life and over your family. There are no limits. Expect miracles in your life. In Revelation 1 and 17, it says this. Revelation 1, 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. And then he says this in verse 19. Write the things which you have seen in the past, and the things which are, the things that are present, and the things which shall take place after this. There is an after this. This isn't all there is. What you and I are experiencing right now has been great, but this is not all there is. There is a better half yet to come. We are not dead. We're not done. There's a better half to come. And if you could just get that and receive that into your spirit, that God says there is a hereafter. The hereafter means, and from this time forward, from this time forward. God says, Nathan, I saw you under the fig tree, but there is a hereafter now. There's a place that I'm going to bring you into where the blessing of God flows through you, through your family, into your life, and changes and transforms you into who I've called you to be. It's not over. He says it's over. Remember what you have seen. Remember what you are seeing. But there is a hereafter that you and I have not even seen yet. We have not even experienced yet. There's more to come. The hereafter is better than what I have experienced. We're constantly moving from glory to glory. I love last week as I was talking about the prophet Kim Clement. And I just, all week long, somebody put it on the Facebook page and somebody put it on there and said, you're somewhere in the future and you look much better than you do right now. There's a hereafter, and I'm somewhere in the future, and I look much better than I do right now. You got to get it into your spirit and realize God doesn't want you stuck where you're at. When you come into the kingdom of God, you come into a movement. You come into a place and an atmosphere where God is bringing us and changing us and transforming us and bringing us into a hereafter. Where we were is not where we are, and where I am is not where I'm going to be. See, people want to relate to me to where I was. Huh? I got friends that want to relate to me to where I was. You remember when we was over there, when we did that? No, that's not who I am. That where I am now has changed because I made a decision. I'm going to get on the bus. I'm going to get on the bus. God is not your Uber driver. Huh? Your Uber driver that you call up and say, hey, I tell you where I want to go and how much it's going to cost me to get there. See, when you get on the bus, the destination has already been written above the door. Here's where we're headed. And I'm telling you where we're headed as a church. We're headed to an open heaven. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, your life, your home is moving to an open heaven. We are called to be the blessed of the Lord. We are called for greater things. Greater things have yet to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to be done in my life. I am moving into a hereafter. I'm not who I used to be. If you knew me 6 months ago, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not the man I was 6 months ago. Why? Because Christianity is a movement. And I want to tell you, get on the bus. Get on the bus. Stop trying to control and manipulate and organize and structure your life. How about you just give your life to Christ? How about you go all in and say, hey, I'm tired of trying to figure everything out. I want to give God all. And when you do, you're going to get to an open heaven, where God is ascending and descending in your life every day. What people try to do is compartmentalize their life. They have a God life when they come to church. They have a God life when they get in here and the worship's going and they lift their hands and they're praising the Lord. But when they go back out there, they got a real life. See, this is my God life, that's my real life. Some of them have a social media life, and that's a whole other message. God's looking for all in. He's looking for Christians who will just get on the bus, say, I know the destination. This is where God wants me to be, and I refuse to stay stuck in a position where I am right now. You can't live stuck. You got to come unstuck. You got to get on the bus and say, hey, I'm not looking for a taxi cab driver who I can give a little money to and take me where I want to go. Listen, I don't care where you want to go. If you're in the house and you're on the bus, we're headed to the blessing. You can't stay the way you are. You come in the way that you are. You come the way that you are, but you can't stay there. Listen, God doesn't have a plan for depression in your life. God doesn't have a plan for poverty in your life. God doesn't have a plan for dysfunction in your life. God doesn't have a plan for addiction. Well, you know, I'm just walking out God's plan, and it's God's plan. I'm struggling with all this stuff. No, God doesn't have a plan for you to keep struggling in all your stuff. His plan is that you come into the kingdom of God, and you set your mind and affections on the things above and not the things beneath, and you move your life to the blessing. You move your life to favor and blessing that is following you wherever you go. And so many Christians are stuck. They're just stuck. And I'm saying, get yourself unstuck by getting on the bus. Stop trying to control everything and manipulate everything. Stop trying to figure everything out. some of you still argue with God over 10 cents on the dime. Huh? 10 cents on the dollar. It's like, oh, I don't know, that tithing, that's an Old Testament thing, and this is a New Testament that we're in. And it's like you're trying to, are you serious? Like, a dollar on, it's like, what in the world? Come on, move into the open heavens. How about you just give God everything one time? Just a whole check. Here's my whole check, God. I just give it all to you because I'm not holding back anything of my life. I just give you all. Don't you think the Father in heaven wants to bless your life? Now, don't you think he radically wants to bless your children and to see your children living lives of faith? Don't you think God wants to look at you and bring you into a place of total surrender to him and know that God's going to work good things on your behalf and every good and perfect gift comes from the Father and God's going to orchestrate and bless your life so that you now live in the blessing and not living in lack and defeat? It's such a reality, and people have been so blocked because they got to try to control everything. Listen, my faith can change everything. God is he is a holistic God. When I got saved, he didn't give me part of him. He gave me all of him. He didn't just give me a little piece of this and say, okay, I'm going to hold back from you that because I need you to grow up and mature a little bit, and then I'll give you this. He said, no, here I am. I give you my all. Everything I have is now available to you. You're a son of the Most High God. You're a daughter of the King. Everything that I have, everything in heaven is now made available to you. And God says, hey, I want you to live that way to me, to him. He wants you to live holistic to him, to where everything that you have is now his, that you wake up every day, and it's not just when you're at church, but you wake up every day having conversation about the goodness of the Father, and everywhere you go, you see that you are on an assignment. You're not waking up and just going through another day. You're walking in fulfilling an assignment from God. Listen, God didn't give us a son. He gave us his only son. He's committed to this relationship. He's committed to this union that we have. He's my Father. He's everything that I need. I don't need anything else but him. And if I can live totally surrendered to him and trust him with everything, then everything is going to work out good because he's in control. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But we have such a hard time doing that because we want to be in control. And I'm saying, stop, just get on the bus. Just believe God. This church isn't trying to get anything from you. It's trying to motivate you to live in the blessed life. God demands all. He is not double-minded in his love towards us. He loves us, unconditional love. He loves us unconditionally. He is committed. He is complete in his love. And he demands that you have a holistic approach to him. That you look at the bus, see the destination, say, that's the destination. That's where I'm going. And I'm not going to sit at the bus stop and wave at everybody as they move towards their destination. I'm going to physically get myself on the bus and go all in. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to open God's word and say, I am all in. I've committed myself to everything that you want me to be, Lord. David said this, I'll bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. Luke 10:27 says this, and he answered and he said, love the Lord your God with all. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your, love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to give all, stop holding back and trust the Lord. Get on the bus. Our bus has a destination. It's the blessing. God wants and desires to bless your life. Some of you are just, you're asking the wrong people for direction. Huh? You ever ask somebody for direction and as soon as they start, you know they don't know what they're talking about? It's like, hey, how do I get to Target? And they're like, as soon as they start doing that, it's over. Forget it. Sorry, you don't know where I'm wanting to go. You don't have no idea. And they go make up something. They go, okay, you just go a fur piece down here. What's a fur piece? You just go a fur piece down here, and you go see this big old building, and then you go past another big old building, then you make a right, and you go down there just a little ways, and you can't miss it. As soon as they say you can't miss it, you know you're lost. Huh? We're trying to ask people directions, and I'm telling you, the Heavenly Father has already set the destination. He's already established, I will bless your life. I will bless and prosper. He said in Jude, he said, beloved, 3 John 2, he said, beloved of all else, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's his plan for our lives. If you just trust him and get on the bus and stop worrying about it, if you just stop trying to figure it all out and trust God, there's a greater life ahead. Man, if I could just scream this to the heavens, if I could just get you to embrace it, God has a better life for you. It's not over. He's not finished with you. In John 14 and 12, he said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works that he shall do, because I go to my Father. Listen, if you're going to be here, if you're going to be here, get on the bus. If you're going to be here, if this is going to be your home church, we have a destination above the door already. We know we have a destiny. We have a destiny, and you can't choose to stay in depression. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to leave you taking pills every day to handle your depression. I'm telling you, you can get free. I'm not leaving you in addiction. I'm not leaving you in porn. I'm not leaving you in alcohol addiction or drug addiction or cigarette addiction. I'm not going to leave you there. Why? Because Christianity is about movement. It's moving from here to there. What was, was. What is. But what will be has yet to be discovered. And I am far better now than I was then, and I'm going to be far better later than I am now. Listen, I haven't preached my best sermon yet. I have not preached my best sermon yet. And she has not written her best song yet. And you have not experienced your greatest miracle yet. Think about the miracles that God has done in your life and how he's restored, how he's given you faith. Gerard, you didn't even have faith 5 years ago. Now you have faith in Christ. You're full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're not who you was, and you're not who you are. You're who you're going to be. God's moving us from glory to glory. People always want to relate to me who I used to be. Not that guy no more. I'm constantly changing. Sometimes Bobby looks at me like, who are you? I'm like, I'm so passionate for the things of God. And I'm so passionate to get you to live in an open heaven. So that everything that is in your life is moving towards the blessing. So many people are stuck. And you know, everybody can get stuck. I've been stuck. I felt like, man, I'm just in this routine, and I'm just going this routine, and I got to remember, get back on the bus. The bus is going. Whether you get on it or not, that bus is pulling out because it's on a time schedule, and we are living in the last days. And God said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy, so you better just engage yourself on the bus. You better put yourself in the position to say, hey, I want the blessing over my life, over my family, and I refuse to stay stuck in a place I'm not called to be in. Our destination is an open heaven. You receive salvation. And when you receive salvation, when you come to God, everything that you know, all that you know is dealing with who you were. It's all about who you was. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was bound, but now I'm free. It's this progression. It's this progression of faith. And who I am now is not going to be who I am 6 months from now. Why? Because I'm growing. I'm on this bus that's headed to a destination. Just get on the bus. We're going to an open heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, it is hard to get direction from yesterday, people. We all got yesterday people in our lives. They relate to us and who we were. And it's hard to get direction from them. It's hard to get destiny direction from history people. That's why I say all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Get around some people that are already on the bus. Look around your life and say, man, who's living in the blessing? Randy and Allah live in the blessing. You probably don't even know Randy and Allah, but if you watch their girls worship the Lord, you know they're living in the blessing. You look at their family and say, I want to be around people that are living in the blessing. Johnny, you and Michelle are living in the blessing. It's like you're living in the overflow of God's love. It's not calls every week, I'm depressed, Pastor, help me, help me. Now, if you're in that place, you keep calling because I'm not going to leave you there. We're going to get you into the blessing. But you can't stay there. You can't stay in that place of lack and defeat and always feeling like I'm the victim and everything's falling apart in my life. Yes, it may be falling apart. You may have some stuff. You may be a victim and you may have a lot of issues, but you can't stay a victim. You got to move from victim to victor. You got to move out of darkness into light. This kingdom of God is about movement. And even when we're moving and we're going forward and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a little routine and we feel stuck, you got to visually say, look at man, I can't stay right here. I can't stay like this. I got to get back on the bus. Why? Because the bus is going. I got people at the bus stop who constantly, I'm meeting with them, and I'm like, hey, I love you, and it was great to talk with you, but I'm getting back on the bus. Why? Because it's got a destination. It's got a destination, heaven to earth. Living in open heavens where God's blessing is flowing into my life, and God's mercy and grace is flowing in my life, and the power of the Holy Spirit is being released through my life. Can I get you to get a concept that you've got to get yourself back on the bus? If you don't, you're going to constantly start feeling weaker and weaker and sicker and sicker and no energy and no life and just like, oh, you know, I'm getting older. Everything's falling apart. Really? Well, why don't you get back on the bus? Huh? You don't have to go at the pace you used to go at, but you can still go with the joy of the Lord in your heart. You can still wake up every day with a smile on your face and say, hey, it doesn't matter what I feel like. I know who I am. I know what God's doing in my life, and I'm on the bus, and the bus is going to joy. It's going to peace, and I'm living in joy and peace. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Christianity is about movement. It's about movement. It's about movement. The best is yet to come. I talked about decreeing a thing last week and just declaring it and saying it. And I think physically you need to make some steps to say, you know what? I'm going to get myself engaged in ministry. I'm going to get myself engaged in giving and sharing and giving life to others. Jesus answered and said to Nathanael, because I saw you under the fig tree, you believed? You will see greater than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you'll see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Hop on the bus. Come on, hop on the bus. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Come on, hop on the bus. Just get on the bus. Say, I'm on this glory bus, and I am not getting off. No matter who gets off, I'm staying on the bus. I've had a lot of people get on this bus, and a lot of people get off this bus. But I'm telling you, whoever gets off is getting off, but the bus is going. We are moving. We are moving into an open heaven. You all singing that song. I hear you. Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't need to discuss much. God didn't plan on you having the low life. God didn't plan on you having the broke life. He has no plan for you, the depressed life. God's just going to leave you depressed. The enemy, the thief, comes in and he tries to wreck your marriage and steal your home and steal your peace and steal your joy. But you've got to come into that place where you go, man, I have abundant life. I have everything at my fingertips. There is nothing that I need that he can't supply. And I trust him. I am all in. I am not holding back any part of my life. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not doing this by my works. This is all about the love of God being poured out on a people. And God said, I'm moving you to the blessing. God has a plan for household salvation. God has a plan for healing. God has a plan for the miracle life. God has a plan for peace and joy. Get on the bus. Jesus already paid the fare. The only thing limiting you is you. The only thing limiting you and changing your destination is you. Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard. I'm going to ride this bus to the destination. If you knew my past, if you knew who I was, if who I was and who I is not who I will be. Come on. I know that ain't right English, but come on. I know what God's promised. I know what God's promised me for my family. And it's not going to change because of what they're doing. Come on. It's not going to change because of what they're doing, because I have a promise. I have a promise, and I'm holding to the promise. I have an open heaven over my life, and the angels are ascending and descending over my life. And every day I wake up with purpose, and every day I stir myself to joy. I stir myself to peace. I've got this place of relationship with the Lord. He has a lot invested in me. He's got a lot invested in you. He's carried you through some storms. He's brought you through some hardship. He's brought you through some things so that you can understand He's got purpose for everything in your life. It don't feel right sometimes, does it, Lily? It just don't feel right sometimes, but you just got to go, I'm on the bus. I ain't getting off this bus. I don't care. I don't care. You ain't leaving me. I'm not getting stuck. I'm not getting stuck in this place. And this is not my home. This is not my final destination. I've got a glory realm promised to me. And I'm living in faith. And my faith can move mountains. And my faith can change situations. And my faith is all in with God. And there's nothing impossible for my God. All things are possible to him that believes. If you believe that, get on your feet and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I give you all of me. You gave me all of you, and I give you all of me. You don't want my heart on Sundays. You want my life on Mondays. Come on. You want my life on Tuesday. You want me to wake up with zeal and passion for you. Let your presence fill this place. Let your presence fill this place. Sadly, in this room right now are people who refuse to trust God with everything. You think you got to guide who you're going to date, who you're going to see, who you're going to marry. You think you got to figure out your job, your career. You got to figure out all this stuff, and you got all this weightiness over your life. And I'm just telling you, get on the bus. Just get on the bus. Choose the destination that you want to go to and say, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And I trust God with my whole life. Everybody close your eyes, bow your hearts to the Lord. In an honest moment between you and the Father, how many of you would honestly say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on the bus. I'm not sure I'm on the bus. Come to church, I'm here, but man, there's just so many areas of my life that I haven't surrendered to the Lord. If that's you, just lift your hand to the Lord and hold it up. Come on, nobody's looking. Hey, I see you in the back. Thank you, sir. Another one? Come on. Just honestly, there's a lot of areas that I have a hard time surrendering to God. Just lift your hand. Say honestly, thank you, sir. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you. Others. Just others. All over the back. Amen. Amen. See, we can trust God with some things, but we can't trust God with everything. It's like we can trust God in certain areas of our life, but others we think, man, I got to protect all this because look what God's done, and I just got to protect it all. God says, you know what? Get on the bus. Get on the bus. You didn't achieve what you achieved on your own. I guided you. I provided for you. I blessed you. I'm not going to leave you where you're at. You are not stuck in a place. As the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you right now, if you felt like, man, there's some areas in my life I know God's speaking to me about, Would you step out of your seat and just come kneel at the altar? Just come kneel at the altar. Don't worry about what anybody thinks, what anybody says. It's you making a physical commitment to movement. I'm moving. I'm getting myself on the bus. If that's you, I just need you to come right now and just kneel at the altar as we worship the Lord.